This is East Carolina offensive coordinator Donnie Kirkpatrick. We are talking one of my favorite things, Pirate Football, on the Sports Objective.
Welcome into the Sports Objective as we have a very special night as we give you the wide receivers preview and tight ends for 2023. Ladies and gentlemen, always my pleasure, my buddy, all the way from LaGrange, North Carolina. I'm talking about Kyle from LaGrange. What's up, dude?
What's going on, Dave? You're my favorite tight end. Look, I was listening to the intro there, and I've heard Donnie say that on our intro several times. We're talking one of my favorite things. Pirate football. I want Donnie to list his other favorite things. I want him to be like, little one puppies that tie up in strings. These are a few. So we got to get Donnie the next time he's on. We got to get him to list his other favorite things. Besides pirate football, what are your other favorite things, Donnie? Bubba, what's up?
We had to call a couple audibles tonight, but getting the kinks worked out before the start of the season. A couple of amateur mistakes there. We're about out of storage, so we wanted the show to record.
That's a good thing.
But yeah, looking forward to talking about the Pirate receivers and tight ends tonight. And it's a room where you lose nearly 200 receptions between obviously Zay Winstead, C.J. Johnson, and then also Ryan Jones. Obviously we had the running back conversation on our most recent show, and Keaton Mitchell had 25 or 30 catches. So a lot of production to be made up for, but some good targets, some returning and also coming in. So we'll see how things go. I like some of these pieces, and we'll dive into who these individuals are here momentarily.
And let's go to the man that played a linebacker in the Logan era, and the inspiration for the show tonight, all the way from Middletown, Connecticut. It's Matt Semenza. What's up, dude?
What's up, guys? I'm still getting over Kyle singing that little intro song there. It took me back for a minute.
It's Sound of Music, bro.
It's pretty good. Not bad.
When the dog bites, when the bee stings.
When I'm feeling sad.
Wow. That's impressive. But fellas, when I collect my thoughts here, I'll tell you, like I was not feeling too excited about this wide receiver group. But today I just kind of like took a few minutes. I wrote some names down on paper. I started looking through the depth chart.
And then he don't feel so sad. Okay, sorry, Matt, go ahead.
Jesus. And even though it's unproven talent, I do feel like there is talent in the room. So we'll break it down tonight. But, with the season right around the corner, some guys are going to have to step up in that room.
Yeah, no doubt. There's talent there. You got Jalen Johnson as a proven commodity, but can he stay healthy? You got a lot of pieces that aren't proven, a lot of guys from the transfer portal. But there's potential there to be productive at receiver.
With Jalen Johnson, you have a guy last year, I think he finished between 25 and 30 receptions, 26 for 340 and 4 touchdowns. The Campbell game stands out. I believe it was
the bowl game also.
Yeah, the bowl game as well. But I think it was either the Old Dominion or Campbell game. I want to say it was Campbell where he had 8 or 9 receptions, had a really big night.
It was Campbell.
Going into last season, I really liked what we were getting or what I thought we were getting in Jalen Johnson based on what I saw and heard. And, hopefully that will be the case with some of these portal guys from this year. You have the likes of Chase Sowell from Colorado, Ryan King from Georgia Tech. and Keelan Robinson coming in from Kansas. So one of the primary things that we're seeking from a receiver in the portal was size, because on the roster, you really didn't have a proven commodity. You had Jarrett Garner, who you hope would step up and be able to shoulder some of that load. And from everything we hear, you know, he's on his way to doing that. But with Chase Sowell, Ryan King, and Keelan Robinson, those guys are anywhere from 6'2 to 6'3, 200 to 220 pounds. So Pirates got exactly what they wanted from the portal. And you heard Donnie Kirkpatrick, when we had him on a few weeks back, say that as awesome as the Zay Winstead experience was for one season, that's not something that the program wanted to make it a habit of. We wanted multi-year guys, whether it was 2 or 3 year players, and that's exactly what you're getting in each of these three guys.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Bubba. And, you know, when you look at it, like you said, Keelan Robinson, 6'2", 205 pounds. Chase Sowell, 6'2". Ryan King, 6'3". In addition to those three guys that we got from the portal, you look at a true freshman we just brought in this class, Malik Leverett, 6'3", 200 pounds. And then you have Jarrett Garner on the outside, who's, you know, he transferred from Duke a few years back, 6'3". So now you have five guys or so in the program that they're bigger targets, you know, that you can hopefully, you know, get the ball to on the outside and make plays. In addition to that, you look at Tyler Savage, who he's going to kind of fill into that hybrid role this year where he's technically listed as a tight end, but he's more of a detached tight end. He's not going to be an inline blocker type. He's going to be spread out, most likely in the slot. Try to get him matched up with linebackers where he can kind of beat them and make plays. So he's the guy that's about 6'3", 6'4". So, you know, just looking through it, I mean, you make a great point. We did address a huge need and bring in some, you know, some bigger receivers.
No question. That's where the game has been going. In fact, the same thing, guys, right, for the D-backs in the secondary, you got to have tall guys, right? Or that's what you would like to have.
Yeah, without question. And that was a whole, you know, that was another thing when we had on Blake Harrell earlier last month, you know, the sort of the catchphrase that you heard a lot about this year from Mike Houston and Coach Harrell was length, you know, adding length to the secondary. And you see a number of those guys are 6'1" and above. So if you can add length and those guys can still run, you know, you've just upgraded your program.
Matt, did you just say add length to the secretary?
Yeah, he did.
Is that what I said? It's been a
That's
long
exactly
day.
What she said. Yeah.
To the secretary, nice. The secretary got length. You see, yeah. What am I, it's been a long day, and I'm too. I've had two rum and coke, so you know.
There you go. You thinking about length to secretaries?
I was trying to let that go, but Kyle was not going to let that go.
That's hilarious.
But back to the receivers, guys. Obviously, Jalen Johnson, you know, if he can stay healthy, I honestly, and this is not a knock on C.J. Johnson or Winstead, if Jalen Johnson can stay healthy, he's more talented. He's got more physical, raw ability than either C.J. or Winstead. And I love both those guys. So if Jalen can just stay healthy and live up to his potential, he could be a stud for us this year. And then the other guy that we haven't mentioned that has some returning experience that really hasn't, I don't think, ever lived up to his expectations is Josiah Hatfield. And I know Dave is always a big Josiah Hatfield fan because you see the potential with his speed. He's so damn fast. You know, if he could just get consistent, he could be a playmaker for us. And that's somebody we hadn't even talked about that's already on the roster.
Yeah, guys, you remember last year, my X factor for the offense was Josiah Hatfield. And I was disappointed that he didn't have the year I thought he would. But this is his last shot, guys. He's a senior. So, right, Matt? I mean, and Bubba, this and Kyle, this is it. You know, you want to go out on a great note for your legacy of being a Pirate. And I'm hoping he's got the talent. He's got obviously the speed is. He was right up there with Keaton Mitchell last year, right? He's got like 4.3 40 speed, but you still have to catch balls and you still have to. I think it comes down. What do you guys think? It comes down to creating space where he can make things happen. I mean, because that guy gets a couple steps on the secondary, he's gone. I mean, he can really make plays.
When you think of Josiah Hatfield, you really think of a couple plays, or maybe three or four plays. For me, it's the post route that he caught against SMU back in 2019, and then 2021, the jet sweep pass from Tyler Snead, 80 yards to the house, and then wasn't a kickoff return to the house at Temple. Those are the three plays that I really think of.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And the most recent was the kickoff return at Temple. And, you know, you just think, on, you know, you get him in the screen game or something that he can make people miss with his speed and be a weapon for us. He's either going to do it this year or he ain't never going to do it. So we'll see. He may have more opportunity this year than he has in the past, but you're going to have to show you can do it consistently, whether you're a senior or freshman, or Houston ain't going to have you out there.
Well, let me throw this to you, Kyle. I mean, what do you think he is? I mean, so he's shown, he's proven that big play ability where he can stretch the field. If he's going to be an every down receiver, you think he's got the ability to make tough catches across the middle? Can he be a possession type receiver, or is he really a guy that he's going to be using that role just to kind of stretch the field occasionally?
I don't know. He can be a playmaker for us. So if he could be in there, the way I'd like to see him utilized is kind of on the inside and throwing screens to him, stuff like that. That's the way I'd like to see him utilized. But I don't know that, you know, we haven't done a lot of that, as you've mentioned, Matt. For some reason, I got a feeling we're going to see more of that this year, but we'll see.
Something I wanted to throw in before we talk more about the personnel, and there are several guys to discuss, but you had turnover on the offensive staff. We discussed that with offensive coordinator Donnie Kirkpatrick. You had Latrell Scott, who's the passing game coordinator, moving on to Maryland, and then Raekwon Boyette, who was a receivers coach last year, he shifted to the running backs position. So you have Aaron Auer, who is senior offensive analyst. He is now the inside wide receivers and tight ends coach. And he had come to East Carolina from University of Georgia. So very young, but a heck of a coach, because you heard what Donnie Kirkpatrick said, that things were able to carry on without missing a beat with spring ball because of Aaron Auer knowing the offense inside out from having been offensive analyst and his previous experience on the field. And then you had Dyrell Roberts, former Virginia Tech wide receiver, coming over from Eastern Michigan. He had just been promoted to passing game coordinator there on Chris Creighton's staff. And prior to Eastern Michigan, he had spent, I think, just a few months at his alma mater at Virginia Tech as an analyst. And prior to that, he had spent 3 or 4 years at Western Illinois, where he was the passing game coordinator, named passing game coordinator during the middle of his stint after just starting as a receivers coach. And then he also had the special teams coordinator tag added on during his time there at Western Illinois.
You guys know, Bubba, particularly, you know how I feel about Chris Creighton. And if Chris Creighton hires you, you're a good coach. And Chris Creighton and Mike Houston have similar mindsets. They both are very hard-nosed, old-school football-type coaches. So I think he should be a really good fit for what Mike Houston wants to do.
Dave, you're muted.
Sorry. Hey, Kyle, you know that we're going to meet Chris Creighton, right? Bubba and I are, and maybe Matt?
I heard y'all are going to the Eastern Michigan game the Friday night before the East Carolina Michigan game. I don't know you're going to meet Creighton, but
yeah. We'll take a selfie with him and send him to you.
Well, you can tell him that I told y'all who he was, and if it wasn't for me, that you wouldn't know who he was, Dave. So.
That's true, but I still thought you would go. Maybe you'll still change your mind.
I'm not going to Ann Arbor. I'm not going to spend money to watch us get our brains beat in. So
what if we don't?
Well, then I'll have a great time at home. Do you think I'm going to be disappointed?
Well, no, I was just saying, you know, have little faith in the Pirates.
Dave, we could have last year's football team and we would still most likely get our brains beaten by Michigan. I mean, and most teams are going to get their brains beaten by Michigan. And look, and I wouldn't want to go spend trip on a trip to Ann Arbor, Michigan to watch us lose by 1 point. So I don't want to watch us lose. So I'm not going to Michigan.
It's possible to go to Dowdy Ficklin and lose too, right?
Yeah, I'm a little closer to Dowdy Ficklin. I didn't know if you realized that. You know?
No, I thought you were near Ann Arbor.
Yeah, it's a little bit closer for me to. Now, Dave, if you'd like to pay for the trip out there, and you know, and everything, you know, the hotel, I want to fly, I don't want to drive, so the plane tickets, and you want to get my food while we're out there, then we'll go.
We'll get you a press pass. How about that? You can sit up in the press box.
That's cool. I'd be more than happy to sit in the press box up there.
Hey, but before we talk more about those portal receivers that we added to the roster that were so desperately needed in terms of the size they provided, we talk about Josiah Hatfield, some other guys that need to shoulder a much larger load this season. Kerry King, Jarrett Garner, who obviously came to East Carolina from Duke prior to last season. Brock Spaulding, he was one, I think, he may have perhaps battled an injury last year, but he did play in the bowl game, had one catch for about 5 yards against Coastal Carolina, but he's a guy that reminds you a bit of Tyler Snead, a little bit taller, 5'10", and a little over 180 pounds.
Canadian Football League superstar Tyler Snead.
Congrats to Tyler on his 3-touchdown
incredible
game for the Montreal Alouettes.
Yep.
At least one of those touchdown receptions was over former Pirate defensive back Deshaun Amos.
Yeah, we don't really always have a lot of Pirates contribute in the CFL. But you talked about Brock Spaulding. I noticed him in the bowl game. He's a kid that I think could be a bit of a surprise this year. And what a great name, too. You got to play some kind of sport with a name like Brock Spaulding.
No doubt. You know, it's a great name. And, you know, he's the type of guy that he's going to have to contribute over the middle. Like, I see him kind of in that backup role as one of the inside receivers where he's going to be running some shallow crossers and trying to get the ball underneath, you know. And he definitely has ability. I mean, I remember being pretty impressed with his high school film. And so he's going to have a chance to contribute a lot this year. I think another guy in that same kind of mold is – Jari Patterson. And, you know, he's been in the program for a few years. He brings some pretty good size. He's 6 foot, about 192 pounds. By all accounts, very quick feet. He's, from what I've heard, he had an impressive offseason, and he's got a lot of talent. So he's another guy that you can kind of throw in that mix that's going to contribute. You know, it's going to come down to who's going to step up. The opportunities are going to be there, but somebody's going to have to step up in fall camp and take these spots.
Guys, by the way, hey, Kyle, you've got a way up to Michigan. You didn't know that, right? Here's what Justin says. I'm sorry, wrong one. He says, Kyle, I'll let you ride in the truck. How about that? That would be cool.
I can ride in the hauler. Okay. There's a thought. I mean, that would be an experience for sure. Just see a little bit of America from Greenville to Ann Arbor, Michigan, on a college transporter. Justin, I'll consider the offer, and I'll probably still not go, but I do appreciate it.
You could work on the equipment too, Kyle. Those on the helmets and everything—that would be kind of cool.
What kind of work would you like for me to do on the helmet stuff?
Well, they don't they paint. They do different things to the equipment, right? The equipment crew. Before each game?
Yeah, I think Rudy volunteers to do that.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Anyway, I was going to say, guys, I thought one of my points, knowing we were going to do the show tonight, I thought the offensive line was going to be the X factor for me as far as position rooms. But guys, I think listening to you guys pre-show and obviously earlier today, the wide receiver room has so much upside. This could be the difference of making a bowl and not making a bowl, right?
I really think it's, I mean, sure, you're going to have some receivers step up, but I really think it's, you know, more the positions we discussed previously, anytime you lose 200 receptions or close to it and 2,500 yards of production and 20 touchdowns, you got to have a lot of people step up. And I think we have the guys to get that done. They just have to go out there and prove it.
Well, the biggest thing going to be key, whether we're going to a bowl game or not, is going to be quarterback play, because we've got enough at receiver where if you got a guy that can get the ball to him and make plays, we'll be able to win. So, that's going to be the key to a bowl game. It's going to be, you know, does Mason Garcia or Alex Flynn step up and able to contribute at a high level? And the other X factor to me is going to be the O-line. To me, that's your two biggest things of whether we're going to go to a bowl game or not. It's going to be quarterback play and O-line play, and they kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah, and I think in terms of Mason Garcia, you know, if I was a defensive coordinator playing against Mason, especially early in the season, I'm gonna try to really mix him up and confuse him. A lot of pre-snap movement. I'm gonna try to disguise my coverages. I'm gonna provide a different look on almost every play. You know, I might show cover two, you know, cover three, zone blitz. I'm gonna really try to mix him up, especially early in the season. And I think the word is out on him that he's got a rocket for an arm. He wants to throw the deep ball. So, you know, part of what I do is just kind of keep everything underneath and make him beat you, you know, kind of with just kind of reading defenses. So it's going to be a big challenge for him. But, you know, I do think there's a lot of talent. You know, when I look at this group on paper, again, I said this earlier, when I had a chance to kind of look through the depth chart and see what we have, I feel a little more encouraged, especially with the portal guys. But again, it's one thing to have talent, but can you make plays on Saturdays, right? A lot of guys can do it in practice. Can you make plays on Saturdays? And then can you gel as an offense? You know, how long is it going to take the offense to come together? It could be the type of thing where, you know, it might take 3 or 4 games until this offense kind of hits its stride with so many new faces. So, you know, lots of question marks. I don't want to beat a dead horse with it, but I think we're all on the same page with that.
Yeah, with the wide receivers. But I think, you know, some people are not ready for, I guess, you know, for Mason Garcia, but I think he's going to be a lot better than what people expect. And I think, you know, I'm telling you guys with Houston is, to me, this is the first time he's ever had shown any kind of confidence, especially preseason. In fact, everybody I've talked to, our sources over in Greenville, behind the scenes, is saying there's a quiet confidence. Take that for whatever you want, but I'm telling you guys, we are a lot better than what people are giving us credit for.
Well, I think his confidence may be a lot to do with our defense. We're talking about receivers tonight, but I think that may be where a lot of his confidence is coming from. But we'll see, I hope. We'll talk about more of the receivers. I'm horrible with names, guys. The transfer from Kansas, they have Mono.
Keelan Robinson.
Keelan Robinson, yeah. He sounds like he's doing better. From what I hear, his teammates love him and like that he has, not only from a talent standpoint, but just from a fitting in standpoint, that he has like almost become a leader already. So at least he's fitting in very well. He's very well liked. So that probably bodes well for the fall. I would think that would transfer it on the field.
Yeah, I'd heard the same, Kyle. And to elaborate a little on that, or to add to it rather, I heard teammates just saying, you know, as well as coaches, you know, how in the world was he not playing more at Kansas? Because they said he came in, he was in top shape, running excellent routes, you know, excellent hands, you know, being everything that we hoped he would be. So hopefully that will carry over into the season. A little more about Chase Sowell. He's also from Texas, as is Keelan Robinson. Sowell, 6'3", 200, is where he was listed on the Colorado roster. And kind of an interesting fact about him, or about his family, rather. His parents had met at the University of Florida. His mom played women's soccer there for the Gators, and then his father was a baseball player for U of F. So he had a couple catches last season, played in 4 games, so he was able to retain his redshirt season. And then as far as Ryan King's originally from Logansville, Georgia, coming out of high school, he was a top 75 wide receiver nationally. And last year for the Yellow Jackets, had 4 receptions for 38 yards.
Now, what I heard, he really didn't look that good in the spring. Isn't that correct, that he was a little disappointed in the spring?
Honestly, do not recall. I think he may have battled something as well as far as an injury. I may be mistaken on that. But my hope for Ryan King is, you know, Jalen Johnson, there were some doubters there just because he didn't catch many passes at Georgia. But yeah, I loved what I saw on film. I said, this guy's going to be a player, which he is.
Yeah.
So my hope is that Ryan King will be able to do the same, a different type of player probably from as far as a little bit taller, a little bit heavier, but and probably not as fast, although I don't know that for a fact. But Ryan King, maybe he'll emerge and, you know, have a very solid season with the Pirates.
Well, he started a lot of games at Georgia Tech. Yeah, he only had 4 receptions.
He played in, and that was a similarity to Jalen Johnson. At Georgia, Jalen Johnson played in the majority of the games over a couple seasons for the Bulldogs, but Ryan King played in 22 games over the last 2 years at Georgia Tech. But he just had, you know, I mentioned 4 for 38 last year, and I'm not sure if he had a catch or two, it wasn't more than that in 2021.
Well, I heard one thing I heard about him. I heard he's a very good blocking wide receiver on the outside.
Ooh, I love those.
That sounds good.
Yeah, that's. I mean, and he's a big. He's a big guy. I mean, he's got the.
He's not small.
He's definitely not small.
What'd you say he was? 6'2", 6'3", Matt.
Yeah, he's Ryan King, 6'3", 215.
6'3", yeah.
He's a bigger body receiver. And the one thing I'll say, you know, I remember I did hear similar to what you heard. I remember maybe I read it online somewhere that maybe he didn't have the greatest spring. But the one thing I'll say to, you know, people out there listening is he came from a very different system. You know, I'm sure those first few weeks of spring ball, he's learning the offense. He's kind of getting used to his surroundings.
Good point.
You know, learning the checks and hot routes. And
that was,
you know, so I think, you know, it does look like the ability's there, but I guess my point is the jury is still out. You know, I think we'll know more as the season goes on here. He gets acclimated in the offense.
Matt, my question was that is how long do you think these guys, I mean, I know that you came in right away, but to the university, how long, but with the teammates you had at that time, I know it's a different era, but how long does it take to adjust to, you know, the speed of the game? And obviously you've got different coaches and different schemes. What would you say that is there a certain timeline that we should be looking at? And you say, okay, it's not the fact he's transferring, you know, moving over here. It's
well the speed of the game. The speed of the game shouldn't be an issue for him because he's played at, you know, Division One. But I'll let Matt answer the rest of that.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's a good question. I can tell you the first, you know, what I always say. I've said this for years. Players make their biggest jump in the spring ball following their first year in the program, right?
Okay.
Because that first season, you're getting acclimated, and then all of a sudden in spring ball, things start to slow down for you. In Ryan King's case, just using him as an example, it's kind of the opposite. His spring ball came first, and now his ball camp, hopefully things start to slow down. But I'll tell you, man, it's hard when your first few months in the program, you're getting so much thrown at you. You know, you're just trying to, like, I always say, figure out where to go on campus. And, you know, now you're getting thrown in a football game, and it's a lot. It typically takes 5 to 6 months, I think, before you're really comfortable in a scheme. Occasionally there's guys that can do it. You know, we talked earlier today in our text group about, if you guys recall, Lance Lewis.
Yep.
Tremendous receiver, probably one of the most underrated players to ever come through East Carolina. He got here like 2 weeks before fall camp. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys. And his first game, he blew up. I think it was Ruffin McNeil's very first game. Yep. Against Tulsa. Am I right?
That sounds right. Yeah, 2010.
Yep.
Wow.
So it can be done.
I forgot about that. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, there are certain guys that are just incredible athletes that can just pick it up really quick. You know, he's a perfect example.
And guys, do you want to go to the question, Robert's question here? Bubba, if we can put that up in I don't think it makes a difference here, but he says, with neither quarterback attending the AAC meetings, that kind of leads me to think that Flynn isn't far behind Garcia. Am I viewing this wrong? I think you're correct on the part that Flynn is close. He's definitely approved a lot, but I think it's just usually when you take the guys to media days, when you say guys, it's like leaders of the team, and maybe the fact that Holden's not there, that Mason or Alex Flynn are the leaders of the team.
Well, Mason hasn't been guaranteed the starting position yet. He's starting right. Coming out of spring, but there's going to be competition in the fall. So I don't know. I don't know that you could read too much into how close Flynn is on Garcia's tail. I don't, based on not going to media day. I mean, I think if Garcia won the contest, just clearing away, blew him off the field, yeah, you may see him at media day. But I get what you're saying. Could we see a Flynn starting or playing against Michigan? I think Bubba thinks there's a real high possibility of that, don't you?
Well, yeah, it wouldn't shock me, but if I had to put money on it, I'd say it'd be Mason Garcia. But as far as the media day, I think you take Shane Calhoun because,
senior, right?
Yes, I know. I know that Mason Garcia has been in the program since 2020 as well. But with Shane Calhoun's a proven commodity. And,
right.
And not only is he a proven commodity, they said he's grown leaps and bounds from last year, according to
yep.
DK when we had him on a few weeks back. So, you know, you look at Shane last year, 25 receptions for a little over 200 yards, really had a nice bowl game against Coastal Carolina. And, you know, he has probably about 40 career receptions and obviously has done very well as a blocker. And you know, early on in his career, even though he didn't get thrown the ball much, I remember him catching a pass, I guess it was down at Georgia State, and I really liked the way he ran with the ball and looked very natural and as a receiving tight end. So I really expect Shane Calhoun, especially considering, you know, last year you had him and Ryan Jones, they were used in different ways, but the two of them combined for 65 to 70 receptions. This year, I fully expect Shane Calhoun to have 45 to 50 catches, if not more.
You know, guys, this is a little bit off subject from wide receivers just in general, but I was thinking that when we have a good head coach, Steve Logan, Skip Holtz, Ruffin McNeil, you know, Mike Houston, the building and the rebuilding years, I kind of like them. You know, when there's a lot of question marks and you're kind of, you know, developing and you're going to be a 6-win team or a 5-win team, or maybe surprise people be a 7 or 8-win team, you know, or a disappointment, hope not. And then it makes it not as enjoyable, but I kind of enjoy these rebuilding seasons. I can remember Matt's last year in East Carolina, 97, when, you know, we had to replace that whole offensive line and Scott Harley turned out he couldn't run when he didn't have that 96 offensive line blocking for him nearly as well. And Dan Gonzalez, people, you know, saw him with that O-line blocking for him at the end of 96 and thought he was going to, you know, in 97, we started off like 1-4, 1-5. And then and at one point couldn't move the ball at all. And just to watch that team develop through the year yep. and be playing NC State at the end of the year for a chance to go to a bowl. You know, just things like that. You know, I enjoyed seasons. I've asked you guys this question, and some of you, it sounds like a dumb question, and maybe it is, but what's your favorite losing season ever? And I remember Skip Holtz's first year, watching that build. That is not only one of my favorite losing seasons, that 05 season is one of my favorite seasons in ECU history, even though it was a losing season, because you could just see him building. Right. You could just see that JT stank going away. And sometimes these rebuilding years can be fun if you approach it right.
Well, I would agree that for the reasons you mentioned, that I know, like you said, it does sound weird, but because of how trying that 2002 to 2004 period was, on that 2005 season and going 5-6, especially closing out the year with those back-to-back wins and upsetting UAB spoiling the guarantee of Daryl Hackney, who's their quarterback at the time. It's the next best thing to going to a bowl. You were just one win shy, but right. you really carried a lot of momentum into 06.
And guys, another season comes to mind, Bubba. What about that 1990 season? That team laid the foundation for the Peach Bowl year. Is that another fair season?
89 and 90, to a lesser degree.
Was it five wins for 90? Off the top of my head.
I want to say, in 89 and 90, in both of those years, it was five wins. I mean, I think technically now the fact book and the media guide will show you 6-5 in one of those years, because we were the recipient of a forfeit from Louisiana Tech. But both of those on the field were five-win seasons.
There you go. That's those 2 years, and that's what set, Matt, that's what set up nicely for the Peach Bowl, and then Logan taking over. So that was actually helping you guys out too, is all the way back to 89 and 90.
Oh, no doubt about it. And, I think you guys all made some really good points. And, I do think this could be a fun year. I agree with that. It's a more of a foundational year where you're kind of building it back up. But, it's the type of thing where there is talent there. And if Mason Garcia turns out to be, the next great quarterback at East Carolina, this could, we could surprise some people this year. We really could.
Yeah. The question is it going to be, 2012 or is it going to be in 97? I don't think we have to worry about it being 02. Let's hope it's not 02.
No.
But will it be 2012 or will it be 97? 2012, we were in a very similar spot and we ended up going 8-4.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think it's the type of thing where we're going to be, maybe take Michigan aside, I think we're going to be in every game this year. I really do. Now, it's a question, are we going to win all those games? But I don't see us getting run out of the building. I think we're going to be very competitive week in and week out and have a chance to win a lot of games. But, I wanted to kind of take a little flip back to what we were saying before. You guys, Bub, I think you mentioned Chase Sowell. Is he part of the whole Deion Sanders kind of cleaning house at Colorado situation?
Yes.
Was he caught up in that?
To what degree?
I'm
honestly not sure.
I heard people try to spin it that he left on his own. Because he didn't like what was going on there with all of his teammates being kicked off. I don't know if that's true or not, but I remember hearing that. Bub, did you hear that?
Seems like it, but like I said, I honestly do not recall for sure. I'd have to do more homework there.
Yeah, Matt and I are, one of our favorite people is Deion Sanders. So Coach Prime, he bet the family farm and everything he had on this year. And I think that I will take, and guys, you were talking about building things and the foundation. I'll take the Mike Houston School of building a program over the Coach Prime building a program. What do you guys think?
Well, I don't know if you guys heard Brent Venables.
Coach
for Oklahoma, formerly at Clemson for many years, was pretty critical of Deion in the press conference the other day. I don't know if you guys heard that.
Yeah,
but
I did.
Basically,
No, I didn't. What did he say, Matt?
basically what he was saying is, you know, Brent Venables said, you know, listen, I'm trying to build the program in a way where, you know, I gave all my guys 1 year to kind of prove themselves. I didn't run everybody out.
Right.
He's like, I'm not like Deion Sanders, where I just basically, you know, come into the program and just run everybody off and bring in an entire new team. So he took a direct shot at Deion. You'll have to read the quote, but, you know, he definitely didn't hold back.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that
Deion respond? Do we know if Deion responded?
He did. He responded, but he kind of took the high road on it. You know, he really
wow. That's surprising.
Yeah. At least from what I saw, I don't think he came back with, you know, too much fire, but, you know, time will tell. I was just curious if Chase Sowell, you know, was just part of that whole situation there.
Yeah, well, he definitely was. He was on the team last year. He left after spring ball, Matt, to answer your question. So he had spring ball under Coach Prime.
Yeah, like I told you guys, it's I think it's a train wreck. Everybody wants to see a train wreck, but certainly, or like in NASCAR, they want to see all the wrecks. But for me, you take away the celebrity. I'm just not a fan of what he did, and it is what it is. Hey, I'm not a fan of Colorado football. I know they only won one game, guys, right? 1-11.
Yeah, and their average margin of defeat was somewhere like 28, 29 points. It was because I went back just out of curiosity. I compared it to the seasons we were discussing as far as the Thompson and also the Montgomery years.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was substantially worse than that as far as average margin of defeat, to give you an idea.
Holy well,
yeah.
Shoot.
Robert says, he said Venables got the keys to a Ferrari.
Mm. On offense, yeah, he did. On defense, he did not, and he's a defensive-minded coach.
Exactly.
What he wants to do versus what Lincoln Riley wants to do is two totally different things. I don't know why Oklahoma went in that direction. I'm a big believer, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I would have kept doing what I was doing. But maybe they felt that they couldn't win a national championship doing that, and so that's why they went in that direction. And that's probably the case.
Not to go too far down the Oklahoma rabbit hole, but as far as the Sooners are concerned, I do not know what they returned last year on defense, and because I'd say that was the bigger disappointment, because when they had Dylan Gabriel offensively, that they played pretty well. That was the problem in that game against Texas, that Dylan Gabriel was out. They didn't have a quarterback, and they couldn't stop him. So it was just a perfect storm where Texas beat them 56-0 or something like that.
Yeah, and like the thing that kills me about this is you're Oklahoma, right? Let's say your primary focus is offense, right? Still, you're Oklahoma. You should be able to roll out of bed in the morning and bring in great defensive players with little effort. Hey, we're Oklahoma, right? This is who we are. You come play for us. I mean, how could they be this bad on defense for so long? It just doesn't make any sense.
It gets to be a culture thing. I think Venables will probably change that culture in time. My guess is the defense will be drastically improved this year. But I think under Lincoln, and they were very successful under Lincoln, not knocking what he does, but on defense, it becomes a culture thing, and then Venables has to fix that. They just, you know, Matt, it's just in that Lincoln Riley offense, he just don't rely on his defense to win football games. And
right.
And when you almost get to the point where when they're scoring 80 points on people, and you got to 79, you know, I think it just becomes a culture thing. And I would expect them to take a big step forward on defense this year. If they don't, then Brett will probably be on the hot seat next year.
No doubt. And I love what Robert said. He said, Bubba, you're sounding clear tonight. Usually you're in and out more than Phillip Rivers. That's funny. I love you, Bubba, you man. That was funny.
What's that now?
Did you see Robert?
I got you. Yeah. Thank you, Robert. I'm on a laptop instead of a cell phone.
Hey, Bubba, let's shift back to
this proves what I was saying is as far as I have no issues with my internet. But kind of getting back to the Pirate receivers, a guy that we have not mentioned, who we've heard from the coaches, had a very strong offseason, be it winter conditioning, spring ball, and then the summer, and that's Jari Patterson, the Marshall transfer.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, that was one of the guys on my radar, Matt. He's a guy that I hear has a lot of upside to him. What do you know about him?
Well, I've heard the same. I heard he's a very talented guy. It seemed like it took a while to kind of put it all together. But by all accounts, he's had a strong offseason. Again, like, he brings pretty good size to the position, 6 foot, 192 pounds, pretty sturdy guy. So he's definitely in a mix. You know, he's one of those guys. You know, we talk about all these guys that can step up and take the job. Well, he's going to be right there in that mix. And I think another guy too. I don't know if you guys were going to go to this name next, but how about Josh Murphy? He was injured last season. I think he was scheduled to be our holder.
He performed very well though prior to getting injured. He was also on my list, Matt.
Yeah. So. And you guys correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't he supposed to be the holder for our field goal kicker last year, which when he got injured, it led to a whole, domino effect of issues there.
You're right. I forgot all about that, Matt. You're absolutely right. And that, I tell you what, man, that's one of my, speaking of X factors, please make sure special teams, you guys were talking about, I know Kyle and I agree about this year, and Matt, you've talked about, Bubba has too, about the fact that we could have a lot of those games, those 50-50 games that comes down to want to for me, but also speaking of special teams, that's the difference of winning and losing. We could not make a bowl versus winning, 6, 7, 8 games could be from the fact of it's a 50-50 game. We make a field goal. We run we run it all the way back. Even if it's down to the 5-yard line, we can win that way. We've got to have that element, that third side of the ball, as Ruffin McNeil used to talk about.
Oh, no doubt about it. It takes everybody, working in combination and like complementary football. That's the big thing.
Right.
That's really the big thing. And, as we saw last year, special teams, you can play a great game, and if you screw up on special teams, it's going to bite you in the ass. And
look about the NC State game, that killed Daffer, man. That killed that kid was lights out, great kicker. And that particular game really, really, Coach Houston talked about, I think, isn't he going to A&T, I believe, or A&T. Yeah. It's like that dude, Coach Houston absolutely loves Owen Daffer, and he felt like that because of all the pressure that Owen had here, that he needed a fresh start. And that just shows you what a class act that Coach Houston is. He bragged about Owen Daffer, what a great kid he was. And he's not going to say that if the guy's like, trouble or, but I really feel like that he was being sincere when he was talking about how much he liked Daffer and what a great kid. And I don't think he was just being, if you know anything about Coach Houston, he's not much on pleasantries, like just trying to be nice. I think he was sincere about Daffer. And I know we're talking about, obviously, wide receiver night, but we'll have that special teams night down the line and probably in the month of probably it'll be in August. But, Bubba, I know with the wide receivers, with the transfer portals, really, really, I think the transfer portal has made the difference for us this year. If we didn't have the transfer portal, man, I know this is stating the obvious, but that's really been a game changer. And, Kyle, you talked about it with the transfer portal. This has actually helped us. And Matt, as the king of the transfer portal, don't you think we've done, even though we've lost guys because of NIL, the transfer portal has actually been kind to us?
I think the staff has done a really good job in the portal
Yep. The
last few years. I think they've been able to identify some guys late that maybe slipped through the tracks or, slipped through the cracks or just, for whatever reason, weren't working out at another school, like Keelan Robinson, for example. I mean, he's clearly a guy with a lot of talent. So I think they've done a really good job at identifying those guys. And if somebody on this, somebody from this class in the portal is able to contribute like we got last year, or even remotely like we got from Winstead last year, you know, we're going to be in business. So, you know, time will tell.
A few other notes, a couple about, or one about Josh Murphy, something I don't think was mentioned. He was a high school teammate of Mason Garcia. So they already have that bond between the two of them. So as far as being on the same page for an awfully long time. And then also, Matt, I believe it was you mentioned Tyler Savage about said, yes, Savage. But Tyler Savage, he only had two catches last year. It seems like he had a big catch, maybe in a third down situation or something at Cincinnati for about 20 or 25 yards. So it almost, I was surprised when I saw that he only had two catches. I was thinking it was probably more like six or seven. But I like some of the things that I saw from him, and I think he'll be some of what we're losing with Ryan Jones. I think, like Matt mentioned, he's going to be kind of that hybrid role where you can split him out in the slot, or where he's more attached or in a wing spot. And then let's see. Also of note,
what about Kerry King?
Yeah, I want to say, have we? I was looking over my list, seeing if we'd left anybody out. Yeah, I don't think
that's one of my favorites.
Kerry King, 5'10", 165 pounds. Last year, he got played significant snaps, had six receptions for 52 yards, and he's someone that Coach Houston, Coach Kirkpatrick have really emphasized his work ethic and said, you know, nobody outworks Kerry King, so interested to see the jumps that he makes. And I remember the other point I was going to make. Last year, obviously, it wasn't very spread out. It was Zay Winstead. You had him with 100, or not 100 catches, but you had Zay Winstead and then also C.J. Johnson that each had 1,000 yards. And it wasn't very spread out as far as the receptions and yardage. This year, I don't think you're necessarily going to have a guy. I mean, you may have an 1,000-yard receiver, but I think the better news is that it's going to be spread around like it was back during the Logan years, where you have four, five, six guys that have anywhere from 40 to 60 catches. Where you think about it, Jason Nichols, Mitchell Galloway, Larry Shannon,
right,
Troy Smith, et cetera. Matt obviously was on those teams. And he can attest to the way those numbers, they were very good, but they weren't necessarily what you would think going back and looking at it because it was so spread out because we had so much talent and also not run as many plays.
Yeah, that's the thing too, guys, is that the balance will be good because if I know that one of your key guys is C.J. Johnson, for example, then you can really mess with him in his head like we're doing, take him out of the game. I'm
going to actually disagree with Bubba a little bit on that. I think if Jalen Johnson stays healthy, I wouldn't be surprised if he's a 1,000-yard receiver.
Wow.
Well, okay. I wasn't saying that we can't have one. I'm just saying that I don't. Last year did not surprise me at all that we had what we had. Not that I necessarily thought we were going to have two, but. It would not shock me if we're going to have a 1,000-yard receiver. Yes, I mean I think it will be Jalen Johnson, but we shall see.
Yeah, I mean that's what's great about this year. Like we've been talking about all night long, is the fact we don't. It's a lot of maybe you can spin it unknowns. Some people would be scared by that, but you can also be excited about the fact that we don't know how it's going to unfold. And that's what makes this time of year, as we're approaching the 20th day of July, we're all ready for college football. We're ready for it. I don't know if the players and coaches are ready for it, but the fans and media certainly are.
Well, when is SEC Media Day? Is this kind of have I missed that? Has that already happened?
Yeah, it's been the last 2 days.
Yes. Okay, so it's still going on. I need to catch up on that. I'll see if I can do that on the ESPN app. But
by the way, the By the way, what's the coach for Arkansas? I'm drawing a blank.
Sam Pittman.
He was on today. Oh, my man. He is one of my favorite. I don't know about you guys, but he's one of my
very
favorite
likeable.
Coaches.
Yeah, he's very likable.
I like him a lot.
Yeah, some of these guys in the SEC, when you hear them up there on that podium, it's nauseating to me. Like Sam Pittman, I agree. He's a more down-to-earth, likable guy. But some of these guys, I mean, trying to listen. I can't listen to Nick Saban anymore. I can't do it. I mean, it drives me nuts.
What do you like about him, Matt?
I just think he's become very arrogant in his old age.
He believes his own press.
He really does. I think he's just become kind of a character. You know, Jimbo Fisher's another one. I mean,
favorite. Yeah.
And guys, how about this? We talked about this. I know you guys were going to go to this, but I'll just go to it right now. Jimbo Fisher. How about this combination? Bringing in none other than the
Your
quitter.
Buddy.
And I'll call him a quitter forever because what he did with the Atlanta Falcons.
That was god awful.
I'm talking about Bobby Petrino.
Yep.
Right? How about that combination? I mean, that is two larger than life egos that I think are going to clash.
Like on paper, it sounds brilliant, right? To hire Petrino. But then what was funny, Matt, you remember in a group text today, it was funny first.
So when did he hire? Was that recent?
No, it's been a few months ago. What happened with another thing I don't like about Petrino is remember he was going to UNLV and all of a sudden, wait a minute. No, I'm not going to, let's get the moving van. We're not going to UNLV in Las Vegas. We're going to College Station. And I'm like, dude, you didn't even get that school a chance. And I understand about that part about.
I thought he was going to UNLV. What was he? He was going to be the head coach at UNLV?
No, offensive coordinator.
Okay. So I know he was the head coach at Missouri State. So. Why did he just decided he wanted to get out of the FCS, I guess.
Yeah.
I think he sees himself as a now. And you know, I'll say this about Petrino, even though, you know, he's kind of a dirt bag as a human being, but, as a coach, the man can coach offense. You know, he's getting paid like $2 million at Texas A&M to call plays. I don't know, man. I don't see those two guys. Like, I could see them having a fist fight in the locker room at halftime.
Or on the field.
Yeah.
If he calls it, hey, Kyle, his first thing that Jimbo said was that, that Petrino was going to call all the plays. And then he was asked again about it, and he said, well, most of the plays. And I was like, dude, this is going to be – maybe I'm wrong on this one, but I think it's going to be – I think we've seen – this movie before.
Well,
even
Saban,
though it's not with these two guys.
Saban managed to coexist with
Kiffin.
Kiffin, yeah. So, I mean, it's possible. It's possible these two can coexist. One of them is a slime ball, and the other one is a. I don't know what Jimbo is. He's something though.
The guy's got the best agent. I'm jealous because Matt and guys, Bubba and Kyle, $75 million. And it's $7.5 million for 10 years, and you know, I'm sorry, but I didn't see that being a great thing for Texas A&M. I know they have the money. I don't blame Jimbo for taking the money, but do you guys think? I mean, he's had what, one good season as far as what their expectations are? What was that in 2020 or 21? The years run together a couple years ago. Outside of that, it's been mediocre at best, and I know Semenza will say I'm being too nice when I say mediocre there in Texas A&M. What do you think, Bubba?
No, not at all. I mean, you've seen this on social media a lot, the comparison between Jimbo Fisher's era to Kevin Sumlin, and I believe Kevin Sumlin's era was actually better.
You're right, Bubba. I forgot about that. You're right.
Yeah. He's obviously done some great things in his coaching career, but the jury's still out at Texas A&M. But most people, because of that large contract, even with that SEC money and all the money that Texas A&M has, and does not feel like the Aggies will part with him if things don't go well this year. So,
hey, and, Matt, I'm
and,
sorry,
and,
Bubba.
And a lot of people think that I say a lot. You know, some people that I respect their opinion think that Texas A&M is going to have a strong bounce back year and win 8, 9, 10 games.
I want to ask you guys, I'll throw it out to you guys as far as Jimbo, and we'll get back to ECU. So, sorry for people watching, listening right now. But my one thing is with the whole situation with Texas A&M and all that, like you were talking about how long, how far you know, let him go. But you've got Texas and Oklahoma coming in. And Matt, you got, I think Matt follows recruiting a lot more, obviously, than I do. How many times can you hear five-star class, all these five stars, they paid them all kinds of money for NIL, and they're not delivering? I mean, yeah, we can have this year, and I hope for the case, if you're a Texas A&M fan, I hope that's the case for you. But I just keep hearing a lot of, you know, it seems like it's a lot of smoke, shall we say, a smoke show.
Well, I think it's especially funny at Texas to see them consistently bring in all these recruits that are supposed to be, you know, all world and five stars, and every year Texas, and it seems like they go bust almost every year. You know, I think it's hilarious, and I love the way they're, to see their fan base panic, and you know, they run off coaches down there like it's their job. So I don't know. I kind of take enjoyment from watching some of these teams fail miserably.
Hey, yeah, Texas and Texas A&M is like the Cowboys in the NFL. Every year they're going to win the Super Bowl. And sorry, I'm not a Dallas fan. For those of you that love the Pirates and are Cowboys fans, I still love you. But it's just like every year you hear about the Cowboys. It's our year. We're going to the Super Bowl. We're going to win it. Oh, I mean, next year. And the same thing with Texas, because they have 200. What is their budget? Something like $245 million. A lot more. Something like crazy like that. Just because they have the most money, you see that doesn't translate to national championships.
No. Nah. Guys, do we have anything else to talk about ECU receivers, or are we done with the receivers?
Yeah, I was going to mention about, if we are, I was going to mention about the Hall of Fame announced today, and Jeff Charles, voice of the Pirates, is in there, and Rod Coleman's in there, and also Seth Maness, right, Bubba?
Yeah, I'd stepped away for a moment. But yes, the four Hall of Fame inductees, and Seth Maness is definitely one of those. Stellar Pirate career, very solid professional career. I mean, you think about his time with the Cardinals, it's a shame he had an injury.
Yep.
But he was able to bounce back from that injury. Also had a little stint in the big leagues with Kansas City. So, congrats to Seth Maness. He recently, his former coach, Billy Godwin, plucked him from UNC Wilmington. He had been on the Seahawks staff, and he got a promotion as he is now the pitching coach for the Spartans of UNCG.
And I failed to mention the All-Colonial Athletic Conference guard, Justine Alpress. She is also the fourth one there for the 2023 ECU Hall of Fame, and that'll be on Hall of Fame weekend, which is, hey, Matt, you got to come down. Not only your favorite team, it's Saturday, October 21st. That's homecoming, and we're playing Charlotte. So, you know, Matt, we got to get Kyle, Bubba, all of us. We're got to be in the club level, having a good time. And, you know, you can have a tear in your beer, Matt, or in your rum, because your 49ers are going down, bro.
Dude, if I'm coming to watch Charlotte, we're definitely getting Kyle in the club level.
And, just one game, Kyle, one game with us, because Matt and Simmons and I have already talked about we're going to do club level. Just do one game with us.
No.
Okay.
Kyle wants to be right down there in the mix.
I've been sitting in the same spot for, oh my God, since the 05 season. So I kind of like where I am.
Yeah, because Simmons and I, we're going to have a great time up there, right? Maybe maybe Bubba will come up and visit us for a couple minutes and then go back to his seats. But it's going to be a great time. I can't
wait. Good luck with that.
I think Bubba will come up and see us.
I'm not talking about Bubba. I'm talking about them allowing just somebody to come visit the club level.
Did they say you're Bubba Rosenbaum?
Yeah.
You remember that article we read about that former player for the Pirates? Do you know who I am? I'm Bubba Rosenbaum, baby.
Yep.
That's all you have to say. Do you know who I am?
Never attended a class a day in my life at East Carolina, but I'm a honorary alum.
There you go. So but, we're going to. And by the way, for people that are just tuning in wondering, we will tell you the new voice of the Pirates will be announced in the morning. And listen to our good friend Henry Hinton talk of the town tomorrow morning as the new play-by-play voice. People are wondering about that. Some people are wondering. So I wanted to mention that at the very end of the show. You can find out, and that'll be obviously on Thursday morning. If you're listening to Archive, you may already know who it is. But we'll be talking about that as soon as the announcement. There's going to be a press release, and the new voice will be announced in for Thursday morning. So looking forward to that, guys. Can't wait.
Yeah, I'm glad to be, have the search over with and to be announced officially, and then we can actually talk about it.
No doubt. No doubt. Do you guys have anything? Do you have any more stuff there, Bubba?
No, just we promote some of the
stuff coming up.
Yeah, upcoming content and then and previous content. Definitely go back and if you have not heard our running backs preview, go back and check that out. Then tomorrow during the 6 o'clock hour, we will have two opponent previews and we'll be taking a look at the Gardner Webb running Bulldogs, as we'll have play-by-play voice Phil Constantino on, and then we'll preview the Pirates' trip to Boca Raton as they will be taking on the Owls this year, and Tom Herman's club, and we'll talk about that transition and the Owls joining the American with their play-by-play voice, Ken LaVica, at 6:30 or right around then. So previewing Gardner Webb and Florida Atlantic, and they do Ken was laughing about that. I was joking when we were setting up the interview. I said I've made a note to address the program now is Florida Atlantic rather than FAU.
Oh, okay. So we gotta say Florida Atlantic.
I'll learn Bubba that. In an elevator? Bubba, are you in an elevator right now? I'm hearing some weird sound effects.
I don't know. You probably hear my dog, my hungry dog barking.
No. And we're in like a bong, yeah, like a.
Was that
it's
Kyle?
It's not a dog.
No, it wasn't me. It was bong.
It sounds like an alert or something on a laptop.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you always have a dog in an elevator? But no, that's the only thing I could think of. I don't know.
No, yeah, I heard your dog too, but it was a little alert sound. It wasn't on your computer. But anyway, guys, we got anything else? We're going to wrap this thing up.
Yeah, I want to remind everybody, Saturday, August the 5th, we've got a big show, 10 until noon. I want to plug that. We have Harold Robinson, the legendary coach at Williamston High, and of course went to ECU under John Thompson, Skip Holtz, and Ruffing McNeil. He's going to be there in person there. The show is going to be 10 until noon, and we're looking for it's our college football preview. We've got a lot of great guests lined up. The fellas will be there, at least virtually here with me, at Porky's Backyard Barbecue, and we're looking forward to that. And I know that we've got a lot of great guests coming up. By the way, guys, Bubba, we'll send it back to you.
Yeah, we'll go over that lineup. In addition to Harold Robinson, the Williamston legend, we'll catch up with Adam Witten, the play-by-play voice of App State, once again, as we preview what will be Game 3 for the Pirates and also talk about the Sun Belt with Adam, Rini Ngolia, David Glenn, Morgan Ehlers, Jay Sonhalter, among our other guests, and there may be more. So it'll be a very, very content-packed 2 hours, and we'll really have to stay on task. And but it'll be a heck of a show from 10 to noon on August 5th.
Right, and we've got some great upcoming programming, too, including I want to remind fans, next Tuesday, we're going to have one of our favorites, one of Kyle's favorites, Cy Seymour, He's going to be with us talking about ECU basketball. And Cy's been going, and you know how great Cy is. And he is really up and really excited about this group. And I want to give a shout out to Coach Schwartz again for the recruiting, the speaking of the transfer portal. He was able to keep all those guys. So very exciting time if you're an ECU basketball fan. I don't think that your heart is going to continue to get broken year after year. I think this year we're going to see some progress, and just really happy the way the direction of the program for sure. But Cy will be joining us next Tuesday, so check that out. And I know, Bubba, a lot of the great content coming up too.
Yeah, we'll continue to take a look at the different position groups, and then also we'll have several more opponent previews coming your way. But if you've not heard our conversation with Brian Newberry, the new head coach at Navy, you can go back and check that out. Also, Adam Witten of App State, Steve Cotton of Marshall, and I believe those are the three that we have in the tank so far. And then we'll, like I said, you know, be previewing Gardner Webb and Florida Atlantic tomorrow.
Sounds good. Matt, do you have anything before we go, bro?
No, man. I think we said it all, and you know, just again, looking forward to the season here.
Kyle, do you have anything?
You got nothing.
All right, appreciate you, man. Bubba, thank you so much as always, and great job, guys. Looking forward to tomorrow night. Appreciate you so much. In fact, we'll be back tomorrow night right here. Thank you so much, everybody. We'll find out who the new play-by-play voice of the Pirates is. We'll talk about that tomorrow night and so much more. You've been watching the preview of the wide receivers and tight ends right here on the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody. And as always, go Pirates. Why not copy that? Everybody gonna see us go bananas, scream loud, but we don't hold back. Every foot, every yard, every first down, every touchdown with the cannons.